I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 37. The Jackie Chan DC Racing Orica 07 LMP2 car. Ran in the 2018-2019 season in WAC. How's that?
That's a good one.
That's good. It's better than... It's the only thing I could find that wasn't NASCAR.
37. No, I'm getting that mixed up with the 27 Aston Martin that runs in IMSA right now. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know many 37s.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head.
I know. Anyway. All right. On tonight's episode, we'll talk NASCAR. At Bristol, under the lights, elimination race. Talk Formula One in Singapore. And then we'll talk IMSA, the battle at the Brickyard. 6 hours of fun.
6 hours of
and a damn good race.
Yeah.
It was. I thought it was. I don't know if anyone else did.
No, I thought it was a very good race. I mean, it was just some... cautions, but you know, it is what it is at that point.
Then we have a whole slew of news and notes to discuss. A lot of stuff broke after our episode last week.
Yes.
This is crazy.
for once it's giving us stuff to talk about and not just us speculating half the time.
I don't know if anything of it. I'm not quite sure if any of our stuff came to fruition. But, anyways, all right. So let's start with NASCAR. This is going to be a brief one, and even if NASCAR Nate was here, he'd admit it's going to be a brief one. Because this one was utter domination by one Kyle Young Money Larson, who won all three stages, took the win, and advanced. There was, little drama other than, you know, Larson just makes a pit stop, gets to the front again, and that's it. I mean, on the unfortunate side of the fence, Martin Truex did not make the cut. Due to a pit speed lane violation, and Bad Brad did not make it. Nate's in mourning.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's really all I got to say there. I don't really have too much to say other than that. So.
I didn't watch the race. I heard there were stats of like it. They had the longest green flag running in a long time.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. There was complaints about the tires and stuff. The only one that seemed to master it was Young Money.
Okay.
Didn't have a complaint from him all night, so
yeah.
I'm going to go with that.
And then was there a... did he put out a thing or a tweet about... how last year's race was more of an exception of how crazy the tires were.
Yes.
And that this is actually more of what it used to be.
Yep.
Okay.
But he also ended the tweet by saying, "We're running spec cars."
Yeah, good point.
So anyways, let's move on to the championship here. So we had the round. So wasn't this? This was an elimination race, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. This was the last race of the first round.
Yeah. So.
And I've somehow.
Who's out? So.
Attention for that.
So it's four drivers, right? Because we're down to 12, right?
Yeah.
So Gibbs is out. Truex, Keselowski, and Harrison Burton. Oh yeah, they are out.
I don't really.
The points are adjusted. There we go.
I don't think I like the fact that I have more knowledge on NASCAR now.
I know. It's frightening.
It is.
So our top guy right now is Kyle Larson, followed by Bell, Tyler Reddick, William Byron, Blaney, Denny, Chase Elliott, Logano, because he had a win. That's why he's still in. And I'll tell you this, Mr. Rally right here himself. Actually, two guys that rallied, Austin Cindric and Daniel Suarez. They were deep in trouble during this race.
Mm-hmm.
Rounding out the top 12, it's Bowman, the showman, and Chase Briscoe.
All right.
So that's our top 12. So on we go to Kansas. So very excited there.
For the Kansas that's, wind.
Yep. All right. So that covers NASCAR. Brief. It was good. I like this. You know, there was no... there was no gimmick at the end of the race either.
No.
They actually raced.
Yes.
You know? So, right, anyways. So
points for them.
Points for them. All right.
I think I jinxed the stat.
You jinxed the stat. All right. All right, let's move on to Formula One. No offense to our winner here, but in an equally boring race, Lando capitalized on having pole. Max held court, having taken second place, and followed by Oscar.
I mean,
and then we had Russell, Leclerc, Lewis. Lewis rebounded big time. It was not a good week for Lewis. So.
No, he was so able to.
Congrats on that.
To work his way back up.
Yep. Then followed by Carlos, Fernando, the Hulk scored points for Haas, and then Sergio. Well done. Another 10th place finish.
I'm sorry. Lewis had a bad weekend?
Well, he didn't.
Because he qualified third.
Yeah, he qualified third, but he didn't get it together until qualifying.
Oh.
It was one of those weekends. Like, he just, you know. It wasn't like he was third. He was third. And qualifying, he was third, but like the whole rest of the weekend, he wasn't really, you know. Yeah,
I mean, he was definitely, you know, on the outside looking in.
Yeah, that's how I would describe it.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, as far as the race went, I mean, he dropped back down to six. So
right.
Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. Russell passed him because Lewis didn't have the pace, and then the Ferraris worked their way back up.
Yeah.
So. Because they got caught out in qualifying.
Yep. So.
Or actually, no, I'm sorry. They didn't get caught out. They screwed up in qualifying.
Yeah, well. Anyways. So. I will say this. Driver, well, one of my drivers of the race was Kyle Pinto.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he finished 11th. I think that was more out of fatigue than anything. He was on a charge from the start. I think he kind of smoked the tires a bit, you know, in that first stint. But overall, I again, another great drive by him.
I mean, he finished 11th, but it was only Perez, Hulkenberg, and Alonso that were in front of him, right. The best of the rest. And Perez screwed up in qualifying, so that.
And Perez, it took him forever to get by him.
Yeah. So it
with a far superior car.
Right. So I mean that's the other thing too of, like it. Yeah, Hulkenberg and Alonso got by him, but like as they should, they're more experienced and they have the better cars. So I would have expected them to make way on Colapinto, but what a start he had. I mean, he just chucked it in there and made up three or four places right off the bat.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Albon was not amused by it.
No, but I mean, Albon
didn't have much of a race.
No, he didn't. I mean, he pretty much saved face by retiring early. That's definitely a talking point of, you know, how.
Yeah. I mean, up front, the only real issue was Lando taking some. I think some risks, but you know, he had a couple close calls. He had the flight wing damage, and then he sort of nipped the wall a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other than that, I mean, Lando did a great job of running, and you know, Max basically dragged that car for all weekend long up, you know, to keep it in second. So, well done to him. You know, and Oscar with a fine race as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think Oscar's only. Mistake was just from qualifying where he wasn't able to get ahead of the Mercedes. Because other than that, he was definitely in a car and could have easily finished second had he been a row ahead. So
right. And then we had I think we'll talk about later in the news. Ricardo got called in and got fastest lap, so that's led to a whole list of controversy because my guy Zach doesn't like that.
Yeah, but didn't you see that him and Horner made up on the pod?
Zach, just shut up.
I think
everything with him right now is him just get involved in everything, and it's getting really annoying. I like the guy, but now it's just like. Everything's a complaint.
Well, I mean, when you get to the top and you start having a good car and you need excuses other than we messed up, I mean, you got to go searching for something. I mean, it's the same thing with Red Bull and talking about McLaren's, you know, mini DRS. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, is it right? Maybe not, but... If it's been going through tech inspection and and they've been deeming it legal, then good on them.
So the only thing they've done with them is they had to stiffen it a bit. Is that what they had to do over the weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it cannot flex nor move as much as it has been.
Okay.
So by stiffing it up, you're not letting it move as easily because it's such a because the wing in itself is very long. You can have you can have that be the case. So and plus it also depends on where they're stiffening it up and where they put the weight on it. I mean, I if they put it on the leading edge and the underside of the wing, then that will move the weight, or I'm sorry, that should lower its center of gravity, and then just stiffen it up as a whole. If they're putting another layer of carbon fiber or just tape in general on the thing, so it should help keep it down. But I mean, again, like if the air traveling underneath the wing is generating enough force that it's still pushing the wing the leading edge up, then they're still getting that effect. I think the not so much the leading edge going up. I think it's the the flex of the rear wing and how much it moves down. Because I mean, this is something that Red Bull was doing the past couple of years.
They were, right.
So I mean, like this isn't. these flexi wings, you know, they're yep. nothing new. It's just it's what is allowable by the FIA, and if they even yep. notice it. But I mean, they're not. No one's noticing this until you have these onboard cameras pointing at all mm-hmm. of them. Because if you never had these certain camera views of the rear view one that you can sit there and have a fixed point in reference of how to measure it, yeah. and then same thing with the camera that is up on the nose, but it's behind the front mm-hmm. wing, so you can see the front flaps move. I mean, everything will flex like that, but it's again, it only takes someone who really wants to spend there and look at the time and see the advantage that they're getting. And then again, like, it only really comes out how much they're exploiting when you go to a super low downforce track, because you spend the amount of time to look at all this stuff and compare top speeds, because there's plenty of time to do it. With a high downforce track, it's yeah, they'll move, but you want yep. the downforce more than not. So it's gotcha. It's not as advantageous to have it trimmed out if the balance of the car is shifting too much. So, anyways, that's the technical rant.
Gotcha.
Right. I think it's very innovative. I would rather these teams actually keep it, and then you can keep talking about it, because I think stuff like that's really interesting. Like, even going back to Mercedes's DOS system. And that was like yeah. a really obvious and blatant thing that you don't get to see on right. a lot of F1 cars today. Like, most of this stuff is hidden, like the flexi wings or mini DRS that's been the right. talking point of late. Like, but again, like, that's I wish in general F1 would talk more about this kind of stuff, and that's what yeah. I really miss from Steve Matchett when he was a commentator and had all of his connections yeah. in the pits, because you got to talk to all the mechanics and engineers about what they're doing, what you're seeing, right. how the car is
yeah.
developed and progressed.
Like on the F1 TV broadcast, it only gets close when Sam Collins is doing it.
Right.
Occasionally Sam's at the race. Most of the time he's at the F1 TV studios, but you know, he's working the pat, you know, he's working his sources to find out what's going on, and he sends, you know, if it's Buxton or Alex Brundle or whoever down, but they, you know, they can talk about it, but Alex more so than Will probably, but I mean, Sam really understands the most about it.
Right.
Which, so, you
has,
know,
has definitely which, been a favorite it, segment.
I like that stuff. Yeah.
But
I like
they that just, stuff they got go to do him more.
Talk to him. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I agree. Cause that's like in race Matchett would bring that up, but he yes. would also be, you know, piping his sources in the paddock and mm-hmm. stuff, so yeah.
But I mean, on another point, like that is what makes F1 really interesting and
yeah.
special yeah. in its own place. Like, yeah, a lot of other series have technology, but like, look, if you're gonna say that F1 is the pinnacle of racing and it's the pinnacle of technology, of how they go about stuff, like, then, you know, market it. It's not yeah. just it's got hybrid engines and batteries or what and all that stuff. It's mm-hmm. like no. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of other stuff that's cool that goes on, away from just the powertrain side of things.
Yep. No, that's true.
Not that the powertrain stuff isn't cool, but you know, like 10 cars show up on the grid with all 10 completely different concepts.
Yep. Oh, 100% right. All right, let's take a quick look at the driver's standings. Lando is 52 behind.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Charles, who's 34 behind Lando. Piastri is 8 behind Charles. There's a drop off of 47 points there. Carlos, and then 16 points to Lewis, and then Russell. And then Sergio, if somehow he could make a 11-point charge and overhaul Russell, that would be a phenomenon. After that, it's a complete drop-off. It's like Fernando's next, followed by Hülkenberg.
Well, hold on. That's the interesting point.
What?
Hülkenberg is ahead of Lance Stroll.
We'll get because they get the same points, but what's it based on?
So if you're tied on points, it's whoever the tiebreaker is, whoever has the highest finish.
Gotcha.
If you both have had the same highest finishing position, then it's the one with the most number of finishes in that position. Yep. And then for them, it looks like their highest finish was both sixth place. But Hülkenberg has finished in sixth twice, whereas Lance has finished once in sixth. Yep. So that's where Hülkenberg gets the tiebreaker. Having said that, if Hülkenberg only had one sixth place finish, then the next tiebreaker is you would go to your second highest finishing position, which in that case, if this is hypothetical, but if you had to go to that, then Lance would have 2/7 at that point. So then he would be higher than Hülkenberg if he didn't have a second sixth place. But anyways, that's going down that rabbit hole.
Gotcha. All right, on the constructors' side of the fence, McLaren is leading 25 by 41 points.
Mm-hmm.
Ferrari is 34 behind, and then we have a significant drop off to McLaren. Then we have Mercedes and Aston, and then RB is 34, Haas is 31. So that's right now, that's a tight battle, followed by Williams at 16 and Alpine at 13, and Sauber has not scored any.
Yeah.
So, all right. And for our next race, we get some time off here. We don't race until mid-October.
Yeah.
October 18th. The weekend of the 18th to the 20th will be in Austin. So,
mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Let's move on to IMSA. Probably the more exciting of all three races this weekend.
Yes.
And this was over a 6-hour period. Mm-hmm. And again, best thing about sports car racing, changeable conditions. As we had dry, rain, dry. So I thought that was that made for an exciting race. And we had a very, very surprised result this weekend.
Yeah, we did. It was, I mean...
And it, I will say this, a much-needed result.
Yes, yeah.
And this continues, this makes a roll from the WEC series where they had a second place at Fuji. Mm-hmm. BMW took a 1-2 here at Indianapolis with Philip Eng and Jesse Krohn winning, with Connor DeFilippi and Nick Yellowlee second. And then Porsche was third, the Penske car. Fourth was the JDC Miller car. And then fifth was Delatraz and JT. Followed in sixth by the other Wayne Taylor car of Albuquerque and Ricky Taylor. Car of the weekend, though, was the Lamborghini.
Yes.
Well, actually, two cars. BMW.
Yeah.
And the Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Surprise. But I will say this. The JDC guys and the Proton guys with their Porsches are, starting to equate themselves quite well. So privateers in this class do work. And I will say this. The Lamborghini is coming. It's making strides. It ran up front this weekend, qualified well. Unfortunately, they got, I think they got tagged in an incident. So had an issue there. So tough one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a bit unfortunate for them. But, I mean, overall, great performance. So to see the speed and progression for them, I'm sure a lot of it has helped with a few more races under their belt on the WEC side, and then any feedback that they've been able to take from that and apply it to this car over here, because this one hasn't run since Watkins back in June. And even before that, did it make an appearance at Daytona or Sebring?
Might have.
Okay.
Probably
Sebring, maybe not Daytona.
I think it's Sebring. Didn't go to Daytona.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, for them, it's, you know, it's 2 months off that they've had in between the last race and this race. So that's definitely a lot of time to get some more miles under their belts on their own and come back with a bit more knowledge.
Right.
I guess the only downside of the race was, you know, about 30%, almost 30% of the race distance itself went under yellow. I don't know.
Yeah. There was one for weather. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there were just incidents throughout the race.
Yeah.
The LMP2 race, TDS took the win, followed by the Inter Europol guys, and then followed by the Era Motorsports guys, which was Connor Zilich, Ryan Dell, and Merriman. Connor Zilich running his 800th race and is approaching Kyle Larson with the number of races run this year.
Jeez.
He came from, he was down in, he was at Bristol Thursday night and came to the track on Friday. Practice.
Mm-hmm.
So,
man.
Then we had GTD Pro. It was did Rexy win this or Roxy?
Rexy.
I think Rexy.
Yeah, I don't.
Rexy won.
I didn't
okay.
see Roxy.
I thought Roxy ran.
Yeah.
Spike ran too.
Yes. Or no, wow. Didn't they say they were going to have Roxy for Petit?
Hold on. I'm just double checking to see if Roxy was there.
Because I didn't see a pink car driving around.
Bear with me. We are checking. Yeah. No, you're right. It was Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
Then followed by a great outing for the Ford guys, the Mustang guys, Rockefeller and Ticknell took second, with Garcia and Sims in third. So that was GTD Pro. In GTD, the Wright Motorsports guys with their Porsche took the win, followed by the Turner guys, and then followed by the Mercedes from Kordoff. So that was pretty diverse. Once again, you know, the GTD field makes it spread it out. So good to see.
I did find the amount of yellow time, and it was about 2 hours, 20 minutes. The race was spent under yellow. There was one yellow that was out for almost an hour.
That was the rain event.
Yes. Yeah. So that, and that was,
and it was heavy.
Yeah. It was pretty much the entire second hour of the race.
Yes, it was. It was.
So, I mean, aside from once that one went through, then it was an hour and 10 minutes was the next running. And then it was just some quick sprints from there. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, that takes us on to the season finale.
Season, yes,
Petit Le Mans.
Yes,
October 9th and 12th. So they're off at least almost a month as well. Before we get to that,
Yeah, I mean, we'll be racing in IMSA before we go back to F1.
F1, that's right. So I'm expecting a large turnout. So that'll be fun. We'll talk more about that when we get to it.
Yeah, and not only just the season finale for the whole year, but also for the Endurance Cup.
Endurance Cup, and then also any support series that will also be last events. Although this weekend was the last for the Lamborghini Super Trofeo as they head to Spain for the World Finals.
Ooh. Oh, where in Spain?
So, Barcelona?
Barcelona, okay.
I think.
All right, very
good. I know. You can find that on YouTube. It's always fun. That's a good weekend event. I like that.
The support races at Petit Le Mans are going to be the MX-5.
Good.
VP Racing Sports Car Challenge, so the LMP3s and GT4 cars.
Michelin Pilot.
45-minute sprint races, Michelin Pilot, and also Porsche Carrera Cup.
Ah. Oh, that's great, because then are they running at COTA?
The Porsche Cup series?
Yeah.
Checking.
Hold on a second. I'm going right there right now. Hold on. We're checking?
They are going to COTA.
That's their last race.
Yes, but it's a week after.
Oh.
Petit Le Mans.
Oh. Well, let's hope we don't wreck the cars, boys. Mm.
That's actually not a bad schedule. They went.
No, it's
Sebring,
not.
Sebring, Miami, Montreal, Watkins, Road America, Indy, Road Atlanta, and then COTA. Yeah, it's really good.
I'm trying to find. Oh, here we go. Wait a minute. Yeah. Oh, there. It's in Jerez.
Oh, all right. That will be good, actually.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Oop, what happened there? Hold on a second. I wish they would just make the
oh my god, could they make the Mustang Challenge schedule any harder to find?
That's what I was just talking about.
Oh my god.
Holy
hell. I've found it, but it is such a challenge. Jeez.
All right, so they run their last. This season overlaps. It's 2 seasons.
2 years?
2 years. It goes to Laguna. Oh, actually, maybe it doesn't. Oh, no, it kicks off the 2025 season. So the final Mustang Challenge race is October 2nd and 4th in Indianapolis. Oh, that's part of the GT 8-hour.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. That's cool.
All right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's forever to find.
Hold on. Not the Ferrari Challenge. This ought to be even worse.
No.
Oh, great. I have to get like this huge graphics package that comes up. Mm-hmm. It's like North America.
North America. That
like I'm, the
they'd probably
the
go
prancing
to...
the prancing horse pops up every 5 minutes.
They're probably going to Mexico.
So their last race in the States is already happened.
Oh, it did? Oh, okay.
2 weeks ago. A week ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Now, they go to Imola for the Finale Mondial.
Ooh.
Which is fun. That's good stuff. I like that.
Yeah.
That's not a bad series.
I wonder...
All right.
I wonder what the support races at, that makes sense. So the Porsche Cup series is a support race for F1 at COTA.
Yeah, and I think there's a Formula F4 race, USF4 or something.
Is there an F4, or is there, or is it the F1 Academy? Anyways, okay, so there's F4 cars there.
Yeah.
And then would, is F1 Academy also Mexico City's support race there?
Don't know.
I don't think there's any support races at Vegas.
No, there is. Something's running there.
There is?
The hell's running. There is. There is something running there. I don't know what. They announced it.
Because that is a desperate addition that...
Well, that is just a long weekend of nothingness.
Yeah,
wow. All right. Let's move on to news and notes. Just staying in IMSA. The entire GTP field, so they, except for the duplicate cars, were removed and impounded.
Yeah.
So it's doing a balance of performance after the race.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, in fairness, I mean, they've had a ton of testing time at Indy, yep. And then, you know, you got your last race of the season coming up. So
I have no problem with this. So can I just be on the ups going into Petit Le Mans?
Mm-hmm.
Today it was announced that Wayne Taylor Andretti will continue in GTD with Carmelo Maselli and Danny Formal in the Lamborghini for next season. So that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that covers, I believe, the sports car news. Hasn't been any driver things going on yet. All right.
No, other than just if Ricardo is going to stay or not.
Right. So in IndyCar, also all sorts of driver stuff happened last week. Rinus VK is no longer part of Ed Carpenter Racing.
Yeah.
Kind of surprised by that.
Yep. I didn't really know what to make of that.
Yeah. I have to think that might be Rossi going there. Because also on top of that today, ECR announced that they had a new partner join the ownership group.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if that brings extra money to facilitate paying Rossi.
Yeah. So then is Rasmussen staying then?
It sounds like he is.
Yeah.
Sounds like he is. And then we had, so we talked about Callum Ilott being named at Prema last week. So I'm trying to think what else. Oh, IndyCar news. Other IndyCar news. Logan Sargeant will be getting a test with Meyer Shank Racing coming up at the Thermal Club.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess their race season is over, so they can go test wherever they want. But
go test, yeah.
Definitely a odd venue. I think to choose for that, but
right,
it is what it is. We'll see if it amounts to anything. Because I've also seen news of he might not even have a seat for next year, but
right,
that's all depending on who gets the charters, right?
Oh yeah, let's talk about that next week.
Okay, all right, we'll save the charters up
because I don't, you know, there's I don't know. There's guys out there that deserve rides, and there's guys out there willing to bring sponsorship for rides, and now we're going to limit the field. So we can talk about this next week.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk about this more in depth next week. Okay. Share my thoughts on it. Also give me a chance to read some more on it.
Mm-hmm.
NASCAR? We had a trade.
Yep, because it's just like the NBA.
Yeah. No, just like it.
Mm-hmm.
We have Corey LaJoie is moving on to Rick Ware Racing. And Justin Haley is moving on to Spire. So basically changing drives. Management news, Ty North is leaving Trackhouse and moving over to Colleague to run the shop over there. Trackhouse is in a good spot, so I think it's a good time for Ty to move to another operation. Mm-hmm. That's up and coming. So I think something's wrong at Trackhouse. I just think it's just an opportunity.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk F1. Danny Ric. Is he gone?
Based on all of his buddies, like his friends that were in the paddock giving him a send off, yeah. And then also
the team.
Not the team. His his social media profiles do not say F1 driver on them anymore. I would probably lean to say that was it for him.
Unfortunate, I feel.
Was it coming someday? Yes. I don't know how much longer Ricardo was going to stick around.
I'm like at this point, he's not wrecking cars at the rate Sargeant was wrecking them and not getting the results. But at the same point, I mean, Ricardo being a veteran driver does deserve to see up the season.
Yeah, and I think just not having this odd unknown of what's going to happen, because it doesn't even seem like anyone in the team is going to tell him what's up. But I mean, again, like the other thing too is this could just be all speculation, you know, who knows?
My feeling is if you're going to cut him short, right, do it after Austin. Because, you know, I mean, it is almost his second home race, you know.
What?
Well, I shouldn't say that. Most races in the U.S. are a home race to him outside of Australia. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Even not so much even Austin, but I would have given him Austin and Vegas. Like if the rumor is that Lawson is supposed to get five races in the car this year,
yeah,
and if that is any five races, then I would have just picked the races that you didn't want to put Ricardo in, and then put the races in that you know you're going to be able to market yourself
pretty good. Or get to Mexico, Chuck Perez. Move Yuki up, or move Daniel up. Let him run out the season in the Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, give Yuki the ride in the Red Bull. See what he could do, and then have Daniel and Lawson finish up the season there. I mean, because honestly, I mean Perez is gone after this season. There's no question in my mind.
Okay.
You know, so.
Yeah, it's a. I mean, I don't really want to speculate too much because all of this could just blow up in our faces anyways, because Red Bull just
right.
does whatever they want, whatever they want. I don't totally disagree with, because they've been cutthroat about this for years, about their driver program, and clearly it's worked to develop and find some talent. So I'm not giving them an excuse for, you know, being nasty or anything like that, but like I don't really want to speculate too much on it, because this is how they operate, which is
100%
agree.
If you
get involved in this program, then you know about it, so you go in aware of the fact that you could lose your seat at any minute.
Right. No, that's a fair point.
But on the flip end too, like I think these past couple of weekends have shown that the new guys aren't as bad as what everyone thinks, because for the past few years everyone's been hedging bets on the veteran guys, and you know, it's getting to the point of like, all right, maybe the next generation has to come in.
Well, and the other thing is, again, it's showing the need. If there are teams that want to come into F1, we got to bring them in. Because we're seeing too many F2 champions sitting out seasons without rides. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Really is. So, I mean, and, you know, maybe that can be all part of conversation next week, because I feel like, you know, the restrictions on letting teams in F1 is relevant to this charter system that's going into IndyCar, and, you know, at a time when both series, there's a flush with drivers who can come to teams, but there's not enough cars. You know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's you want to see more people involved, and then also like it does, it just thinks that there's not more cars and rides available for the talent that's coming up. So I mean, and I know that there can always be a conversation of if you keep adding more cars, like you're going to, you know, just extend the conversation further out. And I'm like, yeah, but you know, if you're really in this point of time where there's a lot of quality drivers that can distinguish themselves and get into the field, then yeah, you want to open up some opportunities and let them come in to see if they have it. I mean, like, there's clearly elite drivers in F1, and then there's clearly some drivers that aren't there, whether it's because of the car or, you know, they've been able to navigate with money rather than talent. So,
I 100% agree.
But that's all of racing in general. So that's not just F1. There's plenty of people that I'm sure who.
Yeah. And it's, you can't just go and say, well, you know, well, there's tons of rides in WEC, because honestly, there really isn't.
No, there's
you
know, not.
Until we get a new manufacturer, which could be Hyundai, you know, that's probably the best we could do.
Right. I mean, I think the biggest issue right now is the fact that your F2 champions are not being promoted in F1.
Yeah.
And look, I know Nyck de Vries was a flop. However, he didn't get to start in F1. Where is it? Yeah, he didn't start in F1 until 22, and he had won the championship in 2019.
Right.
So he was out for 3 years, and then I mean, Mick Schumacher got into F1 pretty much the season after.
Yep.
won in 2020 and then was promoted into 2021, so which was good for him. Piastri won in 21 and then got into McLaren last year. So, I mean, again, like, he was, you know, definitely on the fringe, but I think out of all of these past champions, I think Piastri is the exception where he was above and beyond the rest of the grid.
Gotcha.
Just in terms of his talent and also the fact that, you know, he came in and won in his first year. Whereas Drugovich had a couple years and Porsche had a couple years as well in F2.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the other thing is you're not seeing some dominance of a few young guys where they just come in and do really well. Because, I mean, I'll be honest, like, Yuki was definitely a questionable promotion at the time because in F2 he didn't really wow me all that much. And same with Joe Guan Yu. Just wasn't impressing me like how Piastri impressed at the time, or even Leclerc back when he was running. I mean, I know Russell had the same amount of wins in the season that he won as well, but again, like, it's, there is a you do see certain talents that rise up and really show how dominant they are in a season.
Yeah,
I mean, Drugovich, nothing against him, but I mean, it took him 3 years to win in F2.
No, that's true. That's true.
Not that he was doing bad. I mean, he finished in the top 10 for all 3 years, and for both years before he won.
So, yeah. Do you want to talk about Sweargate?
Sweargate. The FIA need to watch their mouths.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really dumb on their end.
I really think Max handled it so well. It was awesome.
He did. And he's doing it. You can tell them
it's like
the maturity and experience as a veteran in F1 is coming around, and even Lewis was making notes of him. Like,
well, yeah, because I think Lewis is like, I mean, Lewis made the first comment, which I think is right. It's like, I thought that wasn't really the best, you know.
Yeah,
and then it's like, you know, and then Max gets caught just saying it off the cuff. You know, it wasn't even, you know. And it's like, ah, Jesus, you know, it's like these guys can, you know, I don't know. It's, but I thought Max handled it 100% better than he could have.
Well, I mean, and at this point, too, he's already stated that he's not going to be in F1 forever. So he clearly has other stuff he wants to do. And I mean,
and he can
go do whatever he wants. Like,
look, he's won the Drivers' Championship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I don't think he's on a quest to try and win, you know, the number that Lewis has won. But, you know, he's gonna drive until he's done, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially with the way the rules are written now, like with the cost cap and everything like that, it's going to be harder. For teams to have that dominance that they did. And I mean, granted, like, you know, last year Red Bull hit it out of the park and went nearly perfect. But I think having a season like we are now, yeah, did it get boring last year? Sure. But is this year a good reminder of how incredible a feat of that is? Of course. I think that's the other thing, too. I know Lewis and his run with Mercedes in general from 2014 to 21 were, or 20, was as dominant as they were, which was great. But Ferrari and Red Bull were always up there trying to beat them, and did take some wins out of them.
Right.
At least three or five times every season. So there, yeah, there were races, no, where Mercedes weren't dominant.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, ultimately, he's definitely got more ambitions than just winning an F1. So whatever it is, good luck to him. And if this is an easy way for him to say he's done with it a bit earlier than he would have, yep, liked to, then you know what? I think he's content with it, and we'll just go do whatever it is he wants to do next.
I agree. All right. I think that's all I got.
Yeah, I don't have anything.
So we have no picks for this week, so
no, I mean,
we'll have to wait a bit for that.
Yeah, NASCAR is at Kansas.
Kansas. Right? Okay. Yep.
They're at Kansas this week, and then MotoGP is in Indonesia this week.
Ah, okay.
I'll be honest. I just have it on my schedule. I haven't kept up with it at all. But you know, maybe these next 2 weekends are a time to catch up on that.
Yep, and we can have a potpourri discussion next week.
Oh yeah. I don't know. I think the only, I'm sure there's a reason with the way that F1 started their schedule this year, trying to get the Middle East races done when they,
yeah,
did, but because of the holidays over there. But I mean, to leave a gap like this in the schedule is, especially after coming off the summer break only a month ago.
Yeah.
It's kind of ridiculous. So I mean, you take 3 weeks off in the summer, at the end of the summer, and then you go racing for a month, and then you get another month off, pretty much. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure a lot of the drivers enjoy this. However, I would rather the season end a month early than get delayed like this for another month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because again, this, the other thing out of this is, I'm sorry, what this gets back to is a point I know we've touched on before, but F2, where are they? So they last raced in Baku. And then they don't race again until they go to Qatar.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a month and a half that they have off, and they used to, and because Qatar wasn't on the schedule before, they used to go, pretty much from Monza, it was at the time, because Baku is now later in the season.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They used to go from Monza, which was in the middle of September, to Yas Marina being the last race, and that is now the first weekend in December. So I mean, gotcha. Again, it's 2.5 to 3 months off that a series has.
Yeah.
So that's frustrating to me personally. But I know it's what you sign up for a series like that, and I wouldn't, if I was racing that series, I probably wouldn't be complaining too much, because I'd be the one actually driving. But it is just odd, and can easily get you out of your mojo if you're not racing on a regular schedule. I mean, I know if you had a monthly race, like how WEC does it, pretty much,
yeah,
fine. I mean, again, like you plan for it and you go for all that, but yeah, I mean, just from a driver mentality and trying to keep sharp, like you got 2.5 months and you're not doing a thing other than, you know, probably going karting for these guys, like.
Right.
I mean, I guess that's what would make that last weekend in F2 really interesting, because everyone would come off 2.5 months, so who's got the most rust to knock off, kind of deal. Um, But yeah. Anyways, I digress.
I digress.
I got nothing else to complain about. That's where my life is. I have nothing better to complain about other than a huge two and a half month gap in the F2 championship. That's what I'm complaining about.
F2 championship. There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Not even. Right. I don't even get myself sucked into the NASCAR Trucker ARCA.
Don't tell Nate that
stuff. I know. Oh man.
Anyways. Yeah. On that note.
On that note. Good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavender. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.